Hi, everybody. Hoppy Kirchhoff with Brad Howe and Tony Caridi. Welcome to Three Guys Before the Game. This is show number 78. It's the Camping World Bowl Syracuse edition. Tony Caridi joins us by phone from the Palatial Hotel in Orlando, Florida. Brad Howe is here. Everybody's around. Tony, where are you? Where are they staying?
Folks, we are looking live from the Rosen Shingle Creek Resort. Beautiful place, massive hotel. And as you know, as being a veteran bowl game attender, you guys know this, the hotel has a lot to do with your perception of the trip. And if it really does, it truly does. And if the hotel is no good, and it's inconvenient, and it's not friendly, and it's not fun, then you walk out of there and go, I just spent, for a lot of people since last Monday, a week here, and go like, that stunk. But this has got a really good feel, a really good vibe. I'm looking out the window right now. I'm seeing roller coasters and Ferris wheels off in the distance, and it's a good place. It's a really, really nice place.
So I shouldn't tell you the sea turtle story from Jacksonville from years ago.
Probably. Right. Tell the sea turtle story, because that's a great story. Tell the sea turtle story.
1982, maybe? It shows you my age. West Virginia goes to the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville to play Florida State and Bobby Bowden. And so the story goes, Don Nealon said, we got to stay at the Sea Turtle, because when we came down here with Michigan, we stayed at the Sea Turtle. It's a wonderful place. And the place had actually closed for the winter, and they reopened it for West Virginia to get to go there. And it got there, and they weren't fully prepared. They didn't have any hot water.
Is that bad?
There was no hot water. No hot water. So start there. Staying at the Sea Turtle, on the beach. It's cold, no hot water. Then Bobby Bowden beat you up in the bowl game.
So it was no Sawgrass.
No, it was not.
Which we stayed at 13 times, it felt like.
Pretty nice place.
It was a great place. I'd stay there 13 more. Loved it.
Hey, guys, let's get to this game. And I was thinking here before we went on is that if this was a few years ago and West Virginia at 8-3 with a pretty good team was playing a Syracuse team that's 9-3 at the end of the season. Let's say it's not a bowl game, it's the end of the season. Wouldn't you be jacked up? Wouldn't you be pumped up to play rival Syracuse, an evenly matched Syracuse team, if it was the regular season? It's almost weird that it's a bowl game that is not quite as attractive as if it were the end of the regular season in the old Big East. Agree or disagree? Brad, agree or disagree?
I think I agree. I'll say this. I was more excited for the Miami game a couple of years ago in this Russell Athletic Bowl, as it was then called. I was looking forward to that game, so I had more excitement for that. I think this, for me, just comes down to it's the season, the 2018 season, I've already put that away. I've already closed the door on that and moved on. I'm basing this game on my look ahead to next year. So to me, this almost feels like a pre-2019 game rather than the end of the 2018 game.
Tony, what about you?
I tend to agree with your point. I do. That Miami game, by the way, Senator, that never got me all fired up and rattled and thought that would be a great game. I am as intrigued by this game as I have been of a Mountaineer bowl game in a long, long time for unusual reasons, much like you just said. This is the 2019 team. The offensive line that plays in this game is next year's offensive line. The quarterback, for the most part, Allison, who will get the start, will be the quarterback next year. Kennedy McCoy, Martell Pettaway, they're both back, right? We're playing without Gary Jennings. We're playing without Will Greer. We're playing without Yodney Kajust. So in a lot of ways, to me, this is the most intriguing, bizarro, weird bowl game that I can think of West Virginia going into. Last year, it was injury-related that you didn't have your quarterback. This year, it's by decision. And so to me, you got all these scenarios that you certainly wouldn't have asked for, but at the same time, the sense that I'm getting from the people here is that, like, hey man, we're good to go. We're good to go. We're fine. We've rallied and we're ready.
Okay, it can actually be both. Those things don't have to be mutually exclusive. It can be a cap to the season. 9 wins would be better than 8, and it can be a preview to next year. It can be both things at the same time. Brad's not buying. Brad's already done.
Yeah,
he gives me a blank look. Anything referencing this season, you've given me a blank look.
I'm totally done. I'm totally done with the 2018 season because the catalyst for the 2018 season, Will Greer, is not here. And as Tony just eloquently put it, everybody is around in this game that will be back next year. This to me is a total preview of 2019.
However, with that being said, it still is the last game for a lot of guys on this football team, right? And so to them, they're not looking at next year. For them, they're looking at this as the last time, for a lot of them, the majority of them, 95% of them, the last time they ever put on a football uniform ever in their life. Think about that. From when they were these little 6 and 7 year olds putting on a football uniform, for a lot of these guys, it's the last time they'll ever put one on in this game tomorrow. So to them, the 18 season still isn't over, but certainly from a fan's perspective, what you're seeing on that field tomorrow is going to be what next season's team looks like in a lot of ways.
And see, that to me right there is a fascinating mix, and it should lead to West Virginia coming out and playing in this. I mean, how many times do we talk about motivation in a bowl game? There were guys in that 2012 pinstripe putting on the uniform for the last time, too. They forgot
playing.
To put it on and yep. didn't show up. There were guys in that Miami game playing for the last time, didn't do anything. There were guys last year for the last time, didn't do anything. So that is true, Tony. Will this group playing for the last time decide to show up and play, coupled with guys playing for some position next year? Does that mean this West Virginia group collectively comes out and gives you an effort in this game that you haven't seen this program deliver under Dana Holgorsen?
Well, that's true. So there's an angle as well. But what about this, where Dana Holgorsen's talked again and again about playing Jack Allison and Trey Lowe? Well, that to me suggests, I don't know, are those guys actually completely even? Which guy gives you the best chance to win? Wouldn't you just play the guy that gives you the best chance to win? Or is this a tryout for next season? And if it's a tryout, does that then suggest it's more about seeing what your quarterbacks can do than winning the game? And if Allison starts and he plays well, is this just smoke about Trey Lowe?
Yeah, I think that's the other part of that. Is this smoke about Trey Lowe? I mean, Dana's been very slow to pull a starting quarterback in any situation, in any year
time
that he's been here, let alone play two guys at once. So I need to see Trey Lowe enter the game in a meaningful position tomorrow or Friday night before I say, yeah, he's playing both guys. Now, maybe he will, and maybe this isn't so much an open tryout, but just a matter of seeing what you've got. But I suspect, Tony, if Jack Allison comes out and is playing well in this game and West Virginia has a chance to win this game, this will turn into let's win this game, not, hey, this is a practice game, let's throw some guys in here even though we're up 17-14.
Okay, so a lot has been said there. Let me give you three things. let me give you three things. The reason why they crapped out in the 2012 pinstripe against Syracuse, and the reason they crapped out last year, more so last year, was that they didn't think they could win with Chris Chuganov as their quarterback. Plain and simple, right? They knew intimately more than anyone else. They had gone through practice, and they went like, ain't no way we're going to win this game because we're not going to be able to score enough points. And as a result, you got a garbage effort. They don't think that in this game. They think they can win with the quarterbacks mentioned. Now, point number two, Dana's not playing games with Trey Lowe and with Jack Allison. Like, I thought he was just doing that just to jack the defensive staff at Syracuse, going like, hey, who am I going to play? Oh, am I going to use a running quarterback? Hey. I don't think that's the case, and I don't think he's doing that to say, hey, this is a tryout for next year. I think he's doing that because he thinks that it will be a better chance to win. And I think this, number three, he told me this today. I've never seen these guys, when they jog back over to the sideline in a game situation, what are they going to look like? Do they become rattled? Or are they like, I'm good to go? He kept Trey Lowe ready just in that case of a situation where if Allison goes out there and does not play well and looks like, you know, he saw a deer in headlights, then he's got something to go with. And plus, I think he likes Trey Lowe. I think he likes 6'2", 215 to 218 pounds, and he remembers the last time he called plays with Skylar Howard, who did not have those physical dimensions, that he was really successful.
Okay,
right?
but Trey Lowe has never played.
Understand, but
he has never taken a snap.
Here's the deal, Hop. He's been here for 1 year. He came last January. So it's not like a kid that came in August.
Well, I understand.
So he's been But no, I'm just my point is he's not playing them as a gimmick. He's playing them because he thinks he's gotten to the point where if he puts them out there against Syracuse in the way that they play, that he will have success in moving the football. And I think that's why he is doing it. I thought it was an eye double wink to Jack Syracuse around there in preparation. After talking to him today, it's not. Now, does that mean it's three possessions? It could only mean three possessions.
Yeah, don't hedge now. Don't start hedging now. Do not hedge now. You've got Trey Lowe playing a significant amount in the game. That's the side you're on.
Trey Lowe, let me repeat that. Let's think about this for a second. It's a bowl game against a team with a good defense. They got a guy who's second in the ACC in tackles for loss, and Trey Lowe has never taken a snap in a college football game. Ever.
I want a retraction from Mr. Howe. I did not say Lowe would play significant time. I said he's putting him out there for more than just a jack. Because he thinks that he can run the ball. Now, if he puts him out there and he runs two or three possessions and they get absolutely stonewalled and the kid looks like he saw a ghost, then he's not going to go out there anymore. But I think that he'll be content with kind of balancing it and watching during the course of a game what's best for West Virginia to win. That's what his point is.
That was a really veteran job by you of trying to cover every angle so that after the game, regardless of what Trey Lowe does, you can say you told us. That was what you did there. I'm covering it. We're trying to be transparent on this. I saw what you just did.
Okay, well, let's go back, and we're not going to belabor this, which we are. But so what is your point? If I can understand what you guys are saying about Trey Lowe, what are you saying about Trey Lowe? You're saying his name is being used for what?
No, I'm not. I'm saying I want to see Trey Lowe play before I say it's a real storyline. Now, if Trey Lowe and Jack Allison are playing and they're both mixed into this game and it's not mop-up time, then it was a real storyline. I'm not convinced it's a storyline yet until I see it. That's all. I'm just saying if you go back through Dana Holgorsen's history here at West Virginia, he hasn't had a lot of times where he's played two quarterbacks. I just want to see it. But he very well may be planning on playing both. I just need to see it in the game. And quite frankly, as I've said pretty consistently for a month, I hope that's what he does. Since I'm looking to next year, I don't know that I care if they win or lose.
So you don't care about winning the game?
I don't know that I do. I mean, if I'm going to perform,
You would sacrifice a win. You would sacrifice a win to see both of those quarterbacks play and to see Trey Lowe get significant. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. That's probably strong, but I would like to see both of these guys get significant snaps. I'm not sure I'm all the way to go. You say you sacrifice a win. You don't do that. But I would like to see Lowe get some meaningful minutes just to see what you have. I mean, we keep hearing from them that they're in the market for a grad transfer and maybe another quarterback. I know they want depth in that room, but what do they think of the two guys that they currently have that they've talked highly of? Now it's a chance for everybody to see it. Up until this point, you're just relying on what they tell you, what coaches say. Here's an opportunity to see with your own eyes if these guys have the talent and the ability to be the guy.
If this game goes like a lot of West Virginia and Syracuse games, there might be 85 snaps. Maybe get the guy 10 snaps, right?
Put him in.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about on the other side. The best player on the field is going to be for Syracuse with Eric Dungy. Here's a guy, you check these stats, and Tony, you and I were talking about this earlier. He will probably, in this bowl game, become the all-time leading passer at Syracuse. Now, when you consider the players, Tony, that Syracuse has had historically a quarterback, that's a remarkable figure. Now, I know you're playing more games now and you're passing more with Babers, but still, that's pretty impressive.
It is. You can't take anything away from him, and so that's pretty impressive in itself. And then the fact that he is the second leading rusher on this football team, and he's run for 15 touchdowns this season. He's big. He's strong. As you said, I think correctly, he's Sam Ellinger from Texas is what he is, and probably more refined than he is. That's what you're dealing with. So to me, Tony Gibson, I don't think he's going to sit back there. This is a game you're not going to play base, right? I think Gibby's known for being aggressive. I think he turns the aggressive button up to the nth degree. I think it's a total sellout to stop the run, to hit him early, to hit him often, and that's what their plan is. I think that if you sit back and just say, okay, we're going to play coverage and we're just going to do this, they're going to roast you. So you've got to be over the top in your aggressiveness, and I think Syracuse will do the same. I think they'll be over the top in their aggressiveness to get after young quarterbacks.
Yeah, Dungy's running ability almost scares me more than his passing, because especially in the red zone, he's going to run the football.
Right.
15 touchdowns, their next guy has six, so he's going to want to run it when he gets close. But he's also, guys, he's only a 60% completion guy, so it's not a guy that's super accurate here. So I'm with you, Tony. I think if you can get some pressure up on him and get in his face, that works in your favor. I'd like to see Tony Gibson do that, and I don't know why he wouldn't. Why would he not get super aggressive in this game?
And no, I think he does.
And don't forget about Andre Schmidt.
Yeah.
Every year in a bowl, West Virginia lines up and plays the best kicker in the country. Happened last year, too.
Yeah.
So here's the dirty little secret. So Andre Schmidt is the Lou Groza Award winner. Like, he's Mr. Automatic, right? He's like the best field goal kicker in the history of the world. And he beat out Sebastian Janikowski's all-time ACC record. Here's the one that's not getting talked about at all. Their punter. Their punter's a pro. And he'll drop it wherever you want it to be dropped. So from that perspective, in regard to flipping the field, they're totally in their element. Once they get inside the 35-yard line, you can almost ring up 3 points if they can't get a first down. So to me, if you're Dana, you're going to have to score at absolutely every opportunity. Now, I don't think that's the same mentality that he had against Oklahoma, where you're going for it on fourth down, without even thinking about it. But I do think that you've got to pretty much figure in, once they get inside your 35, there's probably a 90% chance that they're going to get 3 points.
Schmidt needs just 3 field goals to break the FBS record. So that's pretty good. And punting-wise, you're right, Tony. One of the things that has helped this Syracuse team win the games that it has, one is turnover. Their turnover margin's as good as anybody in the country, number one in the country. But their field position is also number one. So that's what this team has used. It isn't a great defense. It's okay. Does some things well. But field position and turnover margin are the two keys for Syracuse winning. So watch those stats and those parts of the game tomorrow. We'll tell you who's going to win this.
Those things will make you a pretty good defense. Right? If you're not, when you're mm-hmm. not in a bad position, mm-hmm. and when you're not put in a bad position. I just want to spell Schmidt's last name, though. S-Z-M-Y-T. I just want to spell it.
Of course. Why wouldn't that be Schmidt? Why wouldn't that be Schmidt?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and did you look at the punter's name?
You know, I did not. What is it?
Hoffrichter.
Yeah. So Dino Babers, they like him a lot. I mean, that's a storied program. They went through hard times. They went a 4 or 5 year bowl drought. Babers comes in. He's well traveled. And then he turns the thing around. And this year they had a heck of a year. And they're all jacked up, Tony. They're excited. They gave
are.
An extension.
The first time I'd ever seen him in person was earlier today at the press conference. I was extremely impressed by him. Extremely impressed by the way he handles himself in his presentation. I could see why he is successful. He's got that. He's got that special it about him. And, yeah, they are thrilled, Hoppy. I mean, this team here is doing things that haven't been done at Syracuse. There's one stat that's out there, like 17 years. It's been kind of like 17 years they've been in the desert of football and really haven't gotten back to prominence since then. They look back collectively, their Syracuse media, they brought up the 2004 Champs Bowl, which I'm sure we all have a VHS copy of at home.
I do.
And they
yeah.
said that was where the program went upside down. And they're looking at coming back here as kind of like completing the circle of life in football. They come back here 14 years later, and they win the bowl game. And all of a sudden, the circle is now filled, and we've gone through the desert, and now we're back to where we were before things went upside down. It may be a bit dramatic. It may be a journalist trying to get a story angle mm-hmm. that he wants to push. Dana wasn't buying it, and Dino Babers didn't seem to be buying it. But that's how long it's been, is the point. It's been a long time. And we've often said this. If you hire the wrong football coach once, I mean, you're at a minimum of 5 years of bad. You do it a couple times in a row like they did, and you're done. And it's been like over a decade plus that they have kind of not been the Syracuse that we kind of all grew up and remember from their days when Coach McPherson was there.
You would think, Brad, that Syracuse, I mean, Northeastern football is almost like an afterthought now. BC, okay, they're okay. They had a pretty good year. Had their bowl game canceled this week. But you would think that Syracuse, if they get the right guy, there's still some players up there. I mean, if you got the whole Northeast and nobody else is any good, Can't you be successful there?
Well, there's just not a ton of guys. I mean, you've got to get some New Jersey, you've got to get some Pennsylvania, and then you're just going to have to go outside and get them and bring them into Syracuse. It is a challenging spot to win football games, as we've seen. Babers, at least, I think, is doing the right way. An exciting offense is the way to go, right? Get some skill guys and try and be very good. I think this is a really intriguing matchup. Just you start to go down their list. I mean, let's not build Syracuse up here to be the 85 Bears either. As you go down their list of wins, Western Michigan, Wagner, a Florida State team that was just abysmal, UConn, North Carolina, NC State, Wake Forest, a dreadful Louisville program, Boston College with Dylan banged up. So this is a team that West Virginia can play with Greer or without Greer.
Okay, but that's true. However, they also, their losses, they lost to Clemson 27-23. I know Clemson, as you point out, Brett, had the quarterback issue. They lost to Pitt in overtime. And you're going to poo-poo Pitt, but they did win their division. And Notre Dame whacked them 36-3. Excuse me. But Dungy was hurt. So they have quality losses, if you will. Tony, agree or disagree?
No, I agree. I mean, I'm on the both sides of it. I don't think they're in the upper crust, and at the same time, I don't think you can look down upon what they've done. They are what they are. They're probably ranked where they need to be ranked. They've had a really good season. In 3 years, Babers has turned the program, you know, in the right direction, but they're far from being a finished product. And he brought that point up today. He said, you know, Dana's in his eighth year. I'm in my third year. He goes, you know, 8 years from now, he said, or 5 years from now, when we're in our eighth year, you know, we will be so much better off as far as, you know, guys will know exactly what our expectation is from them. And so I think that they're, you know, they're a solid team. And West Virginia, let's face it, guys, we're a scoop six fumble away from beating Oklahoma, right? And we could very well have been in that situation where we're in a higher bowl game, in a New Year's Day bowl game, in the Sugar Bowl, even if you would have won one of those last two games against Oklahoma State or against Oklahoma. So I can see it. It's been a really weird game. West Virginia opened up as a 7.5-point favorite. West Virginia now goes in as the underdog, and that's a role that Dana loves to play. He's happy that West Virginia is now the underdog. Don't you think that they're not selling that to their team? They do that well. West Virginia's got a tendency of when they are an underdog in bowl games to beat expectations. So I think that from that scenario that this is a good matchup. Among bowl games, this is a good matchup. You mentioned the First Responder Bowl yesterday between Boston College and Boise that got canceled. By the way, UCF today claimed victory in the First Responder Bowl. I don't know if you've seen it or not. it's one of these deals. You just don't know what you're going to get. It's crazy time, man, right? We had a 10-7 game last night, so you just don't know what's going to happen in these things.
And see, that's why I'm – okay, so take the quarterback out of this. Take the Dana Holgorsen calling plays out of this. I want to see how this Western Virginia program – prepares for this game. It has some things to hang its hat on. It can rally around the no Will Greer, and the guys that are left in this locker room still want to play for something. You've got that. Tony, you just mentioned it, and I went through those numbers. This is a winnable game against a winnable opponent that you can line up and play. You're in some good weather. This is time for Dana Holgorsen to take this group and say, let's go. Let's go win a bowl game.
If you have built your program over 8 years, despite not having Will Greer, you should win the game.
You go win the game. Well, look no further. He just mentioned it. Did you see TCU in the Cactus Bowl, Cheez-It Bowl, whatever it's called now?
Cheez-It.
They have lost 110 guys. They're down to fourth-string quarterback.
They won the game.
Their quarterback threw a pick every other pass last night. Muhlstein was terrible. Terrible. I don't know how they even got to a bowl and lined up with that poor kid at quarterback. That was not where he needed to be. Cal does have a pretty good defense. Their offense is dreadful. And TCU won that game. TCU found a way to win that game given the season they've had. I told you before we started taping, I don't even know how TCU had any motivation to play in the game. That was a classic end this thing, get the season over, let's get to winter workouts, and they found a way to win that game. If I'm West Virginia and I'm Dana Holgorsen, go win the darn game tomorrow. That's it. Win it.
Win the game.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say this really quick. He's coached a lot of games. Dana's coached a lot of games here. To me, personally, if he wins this game tomorrow, then to me, this goes down as one of his better wins. I'm not saying one of his greatest wins, one of his better wins. Why? Because he didn't have his quarterback. He didn't have a standout receiver. He didn't have his left tackle. And who else may not play in tomorrow's game for various reasons. And as a result of that, if he comes out of this game and he wins, I'd look at this game for a long time and go, that was a really good win.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Our coverage begins at noon on Friday. An unprecedented 5 hours of pregame coverage. We just knocked out 25 minutes there, so we'll add another 4.5 hours to that, and we'll be okay. So, Tony, it's good to speak with you. Sorry we could not have you in person, but, you know, we get it.
Yeah, good to go, and we're back on Monday. We'll turn the topic to we'll wrap up the bowl game, and we'll talk basketball on Monday's show.
Yeah, and Monday when you talk basketball, you'll talk about who's on the bench and who's in the stands, right? Who's playing, who's not playing, who's on the bench.
We'll do that. Lord knows what'll happen between now and then.
All right, thanks. So long, everybody.